Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports.
Welcome to this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Keckler. He is Chris Kale. Chris, dude, it is halfway point of the 2016 high school football season. We are to week five. Chris, we're going to begin this week and talk about the game of the week. It will be Garaway 4-0 at Sandy Valley 3-1. The Pirates are rolling right now. Their offense is pretty much unstoppable. Sandy Valley coming off a tough loss to Ridgewood last week, and the Cardinal defense will be tested again this week.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe that it's week five already. Where did the season go? Where did the summer go? It still feels like we're in the winter show to me, but, you know, it's going to be the winter show again here pretty soon.
Yes, it will. If it feels like winter out to you, I would like to see what hot means to you.
Well, yeah, I just mean time-wise. I don't mean weather-wise.
I got you.
But, I think I agree with you 100%. You know, Garaway's defense is going to be tested by Sandy Valley, and I think Sandy Valley will be tested by Garaway's offense as well. I think both sides will get a good test this week. It'll be interesting to see if Sandy Valley, can bounce back. Can Coach Gardner rally the troops and bounce back? I think this is one of those games where you can circle and say this was the turning point of the season for the Sandy Valley Cardinals. Because if they lose this game and they lose it bad, they could spiral out of control. And, you know, I think it's very important for Coach Gardner to rally the troops and send that message that, look, we got to bounce back. We got to play hard. We lost a game last year in the regular season, and we still ended up, you know, having the best season we've ever had. I understand that they were without Dre Bracken. They're still without Francesco Borsellino. They get Bracken back this week. Hopefully Nelson Mosden is okay. He had a little bit of a bum wheel. Hopefully they got him healed up. And like I said, this is a turning point, I think, for Sandy Valley. We're going to see what Sandy Valley is made of, win or lose. If you lose a tight game, different story than if you lose big and you just don't show up to play. And I expect them to show up to play. I just we'll have to see.
Absolutely. And I'll piggyback off that by saying this is going to be the first true road test for the Pirates coming into Sandy Valley. It's going to be tough, but they have this circled on their calendar from last year because Sandy Valley gave it to them at their place. Garaway did not see that coming last year. Obviously, RJ Jacobs was not 100% in that game. And, it was a game that Sandy Valley got up for. They're going to get up for this one again because they want to, knock off Garaway. And get back in the IVC race, which, losing to Ridgewood last week puts them a game down in the IVC. Well, they can knock off Garaway, and then hopefully, Garaway comes back and knocks off Ridgewood next week. There's a three-way tie. So that's what Sandy Valley's hoping for this week. Knowing Zach Gardner the way I do, I think he's going to have motivation under a lot of different ways, for this Garaway team. Hey, we beat them last year. We took care of them over there. Let's do the exact same thing. But this is a different Garaway football team this year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. After that chippy game at Ridgewood, a lot of things kind of extracurricular going on. They only trailed 10-0 at the half. And that's why I say, I think both defenses are going to be tested, not just Sandy Valley's, but I think Garaway's as well because of going on the road. But I think Sandy Valley's going to have their hands full with RJ Jacobs. Listen to these numbers to start the season for RJ Jacobs, the first four games. 89 of 116, which is a 77% completion percentage. 1,230 yards, 16 touchdowns, one pick through four games. Seriously?
That's four touchdowns a game.
I mean, seriously? Yeah. That is some incredible number. I would like to see where that stacks up with any passing records in our area through the first half of the season.
Sure.
I mean, because he could shatter everything that's even close to this area when it comes to records passing-wise in a season. That's incredible.
Yeah, he's already shattered the Garaway records. He's over 8,000 yards. Almost 80, probably 8,600 by now. And, he could very easily pass for 12,000 yards in his career by the time this is all said and done this year if he continues to go the way he's going. I mean, he's averaging 300 yards a game. And what is he over? What'd you say, over 1,200 yards?
1,230.
Yeah, so that's over 300 yards. That's 310 yards a game that RJ Jacobs is getting through the first four games. Yes, the competition gets a little tougher the next couple weeks. Let's see what happens. But RJ is setting some serious records and putting up some serious numbers for the Pirates. And my big concern for Sandy Valley is, can they contain that offense?
Well, and I agree with you. I think they've got the defensive backs to do it. I mean, I believe they've got Finn out there. They've got Mosden playing defense. But again, the injury bug kind of biting them a little bit. You know, is Mosden 100%? Because they, you know, Garraway's got some great senior wide receivers that they're going to chuck the ball to. And RJ's slinging it better than anybody in our area, maybe better than anybody in the state right now. The kid is playing phenomenal. He's on pace to throw for 3,000 yards in a season. Yeah, I mean, really?
Absolutely.
3,000 yards in 10 games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and if you think about it, if you look at his stats, he's averaging 300 a game. If it all holds true this week, he'll be at 1,500. And by the end of the regular season, there's your 3,000. Plus playoffs, you know, is he going to get 4,000 yards this year?
Think about how many yards he could have if he would have played in the second half of games.
Absolutely. And there's some teams coming up on their schedule that he'll just dice and throw for 300, 400, maybe 500 yards if he's in the game long enough. But these next two games are going to be the big challenge. And I'm anxious to see this game, to see the highlights from this game on Friday night. Sandy Valley Garraway, I think, is going to be the game of the week, maybe the game of the year. I think Zach Gardner and his team, they're ready for this challenge.
I think that they're going to be very hungry. I think the key is don't get down early. You get down early, your kids are going to start sinking down a little bit. You know, and then they're going to have to start the motivational stuff. I think if you keep it close early, maybe even take the lead on Garraway, get your kids fired up, I think things will be good, but you can't turn the ball over.
That's Garraway, who is 4-0, traveling to Sandy Valley on Friday night, who is 3-1. Chris, the next game we're going to talk about is the 3-1 New Philadelphia Quakers. They travel to Northwest, who are also 3-1 on the season. The Quakers coming off a good win against Talmadge last week. Northwest lost last week to Crestwood, and the Quaker offense should be able to run the ball pretty well this week against a Northwest defense that struggles to stop the run, giving up 181 yards a game.
Well, and you guys had, Coach Dennison last night on our coaches show, on our extra point show. And, great hearing from Coach Dennison. It's great to finally, hear him, talk a little bit about where he's from and a little bit about the program. And it was good talking some Quaker sports last night. Also talked to Coach Matt Vole. Just a great group of guys. I'm glad that you guys got a chance to do that. I wish I could have been there, but I listened in. And that's why I asked, Coach Dennison that question. Does he think that he's finally found his guy to carry the load in Kai Crowthers? I mean, Kai was exceptional last week. Could have possibly been our Harrison Auto Parts Player of the Week if somebody would have nominated him, but they didn't.
Or if somebody didn't run for 300 yards.
Well, or that too, yes, that's correct. But, 29 carries, 172 yards, which is a 5.9 average, 4 touchdowns. He was your Hats Off Award winner. Had a great game. But you look at the tradition at New Philly the last few years, okay? You've had both Angel kids there. You've had Jamal Johnson. You had T. Carter. Just guys that were standalone, outstanding backs that could carry the load. This year coming in, it was like, okay, is it going to be Bolin? Is it going to be Crowthers? Who is it going to be somebody else? There wasn't a clear-cut favorite. Then Bolin nicked up the shoulder injury that Coach Dennison talked about. They gave the load to Kai Crowthers. In my opinion, keep feeding the kid.
Absolutely. And I think New Philadelphia, I talked to Coach Dennison last night about this a little bit. Northwest, their offense, they've put the ball on the ground 13 times this year already. They are 3-1, so they have a fumbling issue in the first four games. Mm-hmm. They've only lost 6 of those, but still, you put it on the ground against a team like New Philadelphia, it's going to come back and bite you. And I think that's one thing that they're going to try to take advantage of this week. I don't think there's any weather concerns for Friday night, but you know what? Matt Dennison knows their weaknesses and knows how he's going to exploit them. I'm anxious to see how New Philadelphia gets to Northwest. Last year, New Philadelphia handled Northwest pretty well on their home turf.
Yeah, and like you said, Northwest likes to rush the ball. You look at their defense as far as New Philadelphia is concerned, gave up 258 rushing yards last week.
Yeah, I mean, that's another concern that I think he has a little bit, because Northwest likes to run the ball on the offensive side. They're almost at 1,000 yards through four games. So they're putting the ball on the ground and controlling the clock. But like I said, those fumbles is where it's at. 13 fumbles, they've lost 6. But let's see what the defense for New Philadelphia, if they can step up and stop the run and force them to throw where they're not very successful.
Right. And, you know, and another thing like we've talked about again, Logan Bitticoffer, 5 picks already this year in 4 games. Very uncharacteristic of him. You know, he was fairly efficient, 11-18, 165. They didn't throw it a ton, but he did have the pick again.
But look at the competition. They're not playing.
Oh, I agree.
St. Rita's for the deaf. They're playing Canton Central Catholic, state runner-up. Perry, state runner-up. You got West Holmes, who you know gave him fits in the first half of their game.
I agree.
Talmadge, who's not a pushover by any means, but you know what? It's the competition that they're playing. They're not playing, you know, little brothers of the poor. I mean, they've got tough competition week in and week out, and it only gets tougher when they get into the ECOL.
They also didn't play the little brothers of the poor or the sisters from somewhere, wherever you said earlier. They didn't play them last year either.
I know.
Basically, same schedule. So, actually, I think it is the same schedule. So, you turn around, you look at it, and you say, okay, I get the fact that the teams, you know, change year in and year out, but New Philadelphia is sitting with a better record right now than they had a year ago because they had 2 losses at this time last year. They actually should be undefeated.
Sure.
And Bitticoffer's thrown 5 picks when he threw only 3 last year. All I'm saying is I don't know what the deal is. I'm kind of confused. And I'm not trying to pick on Logan, but maybe I am. My point is we were talking about his junior season and how accurate he was. He was an accurate quarterback. He was throwing touchdowns. He was really doing some great things. And I understand that he had T. Carter behind him. And he also had another wide receiver that was pretty good on the other side in Braden Young. But, you know,
You lose targets like that. It could force you to struggle a little bit. Obviously, yeah, their running game wasn't going the way it's going in the beginning of the year. I've always told you, Chris, the running game sets up the passing game. If the running game is not there, your quarterback will struggle to throw the ball, and that's the problem the first part of the year with Logan is the running game wasn't established. It is now. I don't think you're going to see as many picks down the road. They do have a couple tough teams left their schedule. But you know what? I think, Logan, you'll see a better Logan Bitticoffer now that the run game has been established.
Well, and you may be right. You know, I'm looking for that game out of Logan Bitticoffer that he's throwing for, you know, 285 and 4 touchdowns because the kid's capable.
We may see
week. And that's cool. I'm waiting for Logan Bitticoffer to break out because I'm telling you right now, if he doesn't get the Player of the Week award, he's going to get my Hats Off award because I've been waiting on him to break out. So we'll have to wait and see. But New Philadelphia, you know, this should be a pretty good game this week, you know, as they travel up to Northwest.
Absolutely. Again, New Philadelphia is 3-1. Northwest is 3-1 as well. That game will be at 7 o'clock. Adam Sawesky will be covering that game for us. The next game we're going to talk about is Dover, who is 2-2, and they take the toughest road trip of the year as they travel to Steubenville to take on the Big Red, the number one ranked Big Red in the state of Ohio in Division 4. I don't know what to say about this game other than last year it got ugly on Dover's home field. It could get ugly again this week.
I'm going to say this. Tornado fans, enjoy the ride down because you won't enjoy the ride back.
And don't be stressed out going to the game. Have fun with it. You know,
yeah,
Steubenville's competition. They're always there year in and year out. Last year, the Big Red hammered Dover, and we all know that. Nothing we can say other than that.
Right.
It was a running clock the whole second half. The game was over pretty quick. And, you know, Dover's defense has struggled a little bit this year. This week will be the toughest week yet.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like going down there as a player, but I know going down there as a fan, going down there as a broadcaster, it's crazy going down there. You know what I mean? It's got to be terrible on the opposing sidelines as close as the fans are to the field. There's not much room on the sidelines down there. They blow that horn and they, you know, they got some dragon or something in the end zone that blows fire out of it on a scoreboard, whatever it is. I don't know. I just, you know, whatever. We've talked before numerous times about everything that town has to stand for, I can't stand. And most normal people agree. I would love nothing more than to see the Tornadoes go down there and just light the Big Red up. But it's not going to happen.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying from a prediction standpoint, if Vegas had the odds on this one, it wouldn't be pretty.
Sure.
You know what I mean? If I was a betting man, I'd be putting money on the other guys. Sure. But, you know, I'll be wearing my Dover hat in support regardless of win, lose, or draw.
What's better than that stinking Steelers hat you have? So yeah. I'll take that.
But how about here's one issue for the Tornadoes that maybe not a lot of people know about that they have to clean up. And this is staggering. I didn't realize this until I wrote it down. 111 yards in penalties last week against Akron East. Akron East had 109. I'd say the officials in the yellow flags got their workouts last week.
Yes, they did. And they, you know, an unfortunate thing is when teams tend to struggle, they seem to get out of their rhythm, and penalties seem to take over games like that. Dover's been struggling on the defensive side of the ball. Offense has, you know, played pretty decent this year, but traveling to Steubenville tomorrow night or Friday night will be a very, very tough challenge for this team. I think it'll teach this team a lot of stuff, but I don't think they're not such a young team. They all know what Steubenville did to them last year at home. I think they want to go there and prove that, hey, we're not that 45-0 team.
No, I agree. I mean, you look at the points, okay? Stats usually don't lie. Take a look at the points given up and the points that you've scored. Dover averages 37 points a game. They've given up 33.8. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot given up by Dover.
Against some tough competition.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Rushing yards. Rushing yards are up for the Tornadoes. 158.5 yards per game. That's up. And they actually had a really nice week last week against Akron East. Dover had 43 carries for 263 yards. And what did I say last week when we were podcasting? I think Dover needs to get back a little bit more to the wing tee. Start confusing people. Run the five wide, run the wing tee, mix it up, but your yardage has to go up in both. It can't just be lopsided on the passing side or lopsided on the rushing side. If it's lopsided on the rushing side, you're probably winning a big game and you're grinding out the clock.
Sure.
But, you know, you like to see those numbers kind of rise together. And last week they kind of did. I mean, 263 on the ground, 114 passing, but Alex Sarri, you know, only threw the ball 22 times. Just 14 of 22 for 114 yards. When was the last time that you can sit here and say Dover scored a touchdown and none of them were through the air?
It's been a while, you know, probably before I lived here.
Yeah,
you know,
and I
I've
agree.
Only been here 5.5 years. So, yeah. But you know what? That's just times evolving and, you know, athletes changing and systems trying to adapt to the athletes that they have. Sometimes that's what happens. You have to go with what you have. And Dan Iff's trying to do that this year. Again, Dover's 2-2. They travel to Steubenville, who is 4-0. And Tim Plants will have that game covered for us tomorrow on Friday night. And we'll be interested to see what happens with the Tornadoes in the Big Red. The next game we're going to talk about is the 2-2 Clamont Mustangs as they travel to the Bishop Rosecrans, who are 3-1. That game will be Saturday night. Mustangs coming off the best win in years for that program, as we all thought it wasn't going to be a good result last week. But Clamont pulled off the huge win, the huge upset. I couldn't be happier for the Mustangs.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you could just see it on the kids' faces last week and looking at Coach when he was sitting over there in the newsroom, just glowing, and they should be. And I'm sure that Yerkesville and you know, Mustang Nation is just rocking down there this week, and they're ready to go. I really think that they, you know, they're going to run into a different Bishop Rosecrans team on Saturday than what they're used to. I mean, Rosecrans sitting at 3-1, that's kind of a surprise. You know, they were 3-7 a year ago. You don't want to take your focus off of the Rosecrans and look ahead to next week, because I know that they're all looking at trying to knock off New Philadelphia. You don't want to do that, because I think that you got to handle your business here first, and I think Coach Lasecki will do that. You know, great game by Eric's Hats Off Award winner. Taryn Rao had a 5-yard TD run. An interception on D was huge in the blocking scheme for Hunter Hirschberger and Xavier Grant. Grant, 143 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hirschberger, 189 yards and 2 touchdowns. The 97-yarder that sealed the deal. Man, you know, Thomas Edwards even with a great game. 7 of 10, 101 yards and a 3-yard rushing touchdown. No turnovers. That's good stuff.
I'm calling it the Big Z Sports karma effect, because you know, they were on our coaches show our extra point last week. They go down, stay at home, welcome in Danville. We didn't think, like I said, we thought that,
honestly,
you know,
yeah,
we thought that they would get beat, and no offense to them, but that's just how it was. Danville's a really good team, laid it to them last year, 75-0. But you know what? The Big Z Sports karma came into effect. They got the big win on their home field last week to improve to 2-2 on the season. Again, Hunter Hershberger needs to come up big this week against the Bishop Rosecrans, even though they get an extra day to prepare for this game, as it is Saturday night. So the Mustangs need to go into the Philly game at 3-2 rather than 2-3. I think the momentum will stay with them as they go into the Philly game next week.
Man, I'll tell you what. This is I can't wait till next week, because that's going to be a great game. But you got to get through the Rosecrans first. The Rosecrans, they like to rush the ball as well. Claymont's defense has been huge this season, only allowing 201 yards on the ground and 116 through the air per game. They got 8 interceptions and a fumble recovery on defense. Doing a great job. They don't throw it much. Thomas Edwards doesn't need to throw it much when they're running for 301 yards a game and 12 touchdowns. The point situation, you know, again, stats don't lie. Averaging 28 points a game, giving up almost 27. So looking forward to this Claymont game this week against the Rosecrans. Should be a good one.
The next game we're going to look at is the 0-4 Tuslaw Mustangs. They will travel down here to take on Indian Valley, who is now 1-3. They picked up their first big win of the year last week at Fairless. They got to keep the momentum rolling, Chris.
Yeah, you know, this is a different Mustangs team that they're going to run into than the Mustangs team that we just talked about. Tuslaw kind of struggling a little bit. You know, they were 6-4 a year ago, usually a good football team. And now, you know, falling on hard times, 0-4, you know, Indian Valley gets ready to look at Orrville next week, the new team that comes into the league. Orrville having a pretty good season. But, yeah, Indian Valley finally got their first win against Fairless, 28-20. Corey Carlisle was my hats off award winner. Man, 24 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown doesn't seem like much. But then he had 2 catches, 69 yards, and a touchdown receiving. Had an interception and a fumble recovery on D. Kid played monstrous. And, you know, like I said, you wouldn't think 24 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown would be a hats off award winner. But look at his whole body of work. The kid really played a good game.
He did, absolutely. And hopefully the Braves continue to get healthy.
Yeah, and Caden Hostetler finally starting to settle in a little bit. You know, 6-19, 132 yards and a touchdown. Did have the one pick, but starting to, you know, maybe that shoulder feeling better, starting to sling it a little bit more. And then Carson Hartrick, 7 carries, 35 yards. He had 2 touchdowns. You know, the offense had 142 yards on 46 carries, 3.1 average. Again, 132 passing yards. Defense only gave up 117 yards on the ground and 131 passing, had the pick and 2 fumble recoveries. So defense playing well for Coach Matt Lancaster. This was a big win for them to go 1-0 in the pack to start the season.
Absolutely. The momentum is on their side now. They got to keep it going as they face 0-4 Tuslaw this week. Again, Indian Valley 1-3 on the season, and that game will be at 7 o'clock in Midvale, and Shannon Thomas will have that game covered for us as well. Chris, run down the rest of the Week 5 schedule for us.
Rest of the schedule for Week number 5, Strasburg at Malvern in a big IVC battle there. Ridgewood at East Canton. West Branch at Carrollton, Tuskegee Valley at Triway, Cambridge at Coshocton, Fairless at Manchester, Madison at West Holmes, and then going with the game on Saturday night along with Claymont and the Bishop Rosecrans is Newcomberstown at TCC.
Chris, a quick reminder for our listeners, follow Big Z Sports on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports and on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. Let's talk a little bit about the Buckeyes. Huge win last week in Norman, Oklahoma.
Oh, is 40, that what it was?
45-24. Are you surprised by the outcome of that game?
Absolutely. I really am. I thought Ohio State would win the game. I wasn't going to be Benedict Birmingham and predict a Boomer Sooner win, but I did not think that it was going to be a handling that Ohio State put on them out there. I was very, very surprised.
Yeah, I'm impressed by this team. I didn't think that they would win by that large of a margin. I thought they would win the game. Bob Stoops' teams are, whenever they're highly rated to start the season, they always fall flat on their face. I was expecting that from Oklahoma, especially after the Week 1 loss to Houston, and then you come out and you play a team that are the Buckeyes, which is not a team that people think, oh, they're young, inexperienced. You know what? This team is good. This team is really good and really fast and really young. But you know what? This team is also dangerous because now they don't really have the, you know, the competition you get to Nebraska, Michigan State, and that team up north. But you know what? You're getting this momentum for this young team and getting the ability of this defense, this young defense getting back there. This team is very dangerous.
You know what's crazy? They're handling the run game great. They should have gave the ball to Mike Weber a lot more than they did last week, in my opinion. I was sitting there saying, dude, feed him. Give him the ball.
But why did you need to when you're getting to the end zone with four touchdown passes to Noah Brown? You know, the running game was there. He rushed for over 120 yards again. So it was there, and JT Barrett was doing well. Samuel was doing well. But it just seemed they had no answer for Noah Brown. That's why they kept throwing it to him.
Well, I'm not talking about necessarily throwing the ball. I'm talking about the quarterback draw stuff with JT. You're going to get the kid hurt. The one time he got hit right in the side of the helmet-to-helmet contact that wasn't called, you're going to get him hurt. Hand the ball off to your big kid and let him eat. Don't put your quarterback in that situation.
Yeah, it's just part of the offense. It's just what they do.
I know, but I can't stand it. They've been doing it when Tressel was there, and I cannot stand quarterback draws and quarterback sweeps.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I mean, it's just a part of the offense, unfortunately, is how Ohio State runs their offense. You got to keep the defense honest, especially if you have a mobile quarterback like you do in JT. If he just stands back there and just throws all day long, guess what they're going to do? They're going to pin their ears back and come after him. If he's running a quarterback draw, they're going to be like, oh, crap, I got to stay home now. So that's why they do that, even with the power runs, with the running back leading up in the hole and the tight end coming across. I mean, I understand their offense. Their offense is based on setting everything else up. Each play sets something else up. That's how Urban Meyer runs his offense. I think they're doing a great job. They're off this week. They will be home on October 1st against Rutgers. Chris Ash makes his return to the Shoe as the Rutgers head football coach.
Yeah, and, you know, how about the catch by Noah Brown?
Unbelievable. Best catch I've ever seen.
You think that's a catch of the year?
Oh, absolutely.
That's an ESPY. That's got ESPY written all over it.
I would think so. There's no reason why it's not.
That was incredible.
I mean, he caught the ball and the defensive back.
That was awesome.
I mean, one-handed. I know. It wasn't even like.
I know. It was awesome. I mean,
and he got both feet in. That was a catch in the NFL.
I know. Absolutely. And it just makes you wonder, dang, what could have happened if we'd have had him last year?
Yeah. And you know, suffering a leg injury in fall camp. And Noah Brown did big things last week, and I expect big things the rest of the year from him as well.
And how big is that team up north game going to come? That you could end up having both those teams in playoff position and still make the playoffs and lose that game.
I still think Michigan's overrated. I really do. Because
their quarterback's pretty good up there, dude.
They haven't played anyone.
But their quarterback's pretty good.
They played a Colorado team that is a little improved over the last few years, and they struggled early on with them. Yes, they pulled away, and the score looked a lot worse than it really was. But they haven't played a soul.
So you don't think their top five ranking is warranted?
No way. Not a chance. My top five right now would be, you know, you got to put Alabama in there, you got to put Ohio State, you got to put Louisville, you got to put Houston, and you got to put Clemson. Those are the top five teams in the country right now. Michigan has shown me nothing, and that's coming from a Buckeye fan, yes, but they have not played a soul. And when they start playing somebody, we'll see what this team's made of.
Well, so you think that's a Harbaugh ranking there?
Oh, absolutely. Harbaugh is so overrated, it's not even funny.
And they had a one.
What has he
they
done?
Had one vote for the top. Well, vote getter too, and I'm sure that was horrible.
Well, it was in an AP poll is where that was, and that's in a press writer from Detroit probably. Yeah. But you know what? What has Harbaugh ever done? I mean, in college football, what has he ever done? He had Andrew Luck, and he gets all this praise for, he turns every team around and wins. He wins, but what has he ever won?
I know. He's kind of a wacko, too.
He is.
To be honest with you.
You know, he goes to the NFL, and yes, he gets the three conference championship games, and he gets to a Super Bowl. You know, I get that, but he lost.
I will say this, though. Colin Kaepernick didn't pull his crap under Jim Harbaugh.
Well, no, but you know what? Jim Harbaugh, I think he's extremely overrated. He's never won anything. I think his team's overrated. I think Penn State will give him a game this week. I really do. I would love to see Penn State beat him.
Captain Comeback.
Yeah. But you know what? And that's few weeks away for that game, but the build-up is going to be great, and when Michigan plays somebody, we'll see what they're made of, which is I don't think much.
I agree.
Don't forget about our new start time this year to the Big Z Sports Show pregame edition. It now begins at 5:30 and runs until 7. This week, we will be out at the Tuscross County Fair at the Z Country Cottage from 5:30 until 7. Join myself and Chris Kale and Eric McElroy as we broadcast our pregame show from the Z Country Cottage. Stop by, say hi, maybe get
some prizes. Absolutely, stop by and say hi. We love having a little crowd around, you know, hooting and hollering when we're on the air. It's good stuff, so absolutely, make sure you come see us. And after, you can also eat popcorn.
Absolutely, you can. And after 7 o'clock, we will come back here to the station and do all of our normal shenanigans throughout the rest of the night until 11 o'clock. Again, that's our Big Z Sports Show on Friday night. Thanks, Chris, for podcasting this week. We'll talk to you Friday.
Absolutely.
With that, this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast will come to a close. For Chris Kale, I'm Joe Geckler saying thank you for listening to this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast, and we'll talk to you Friday night from the Tuscross County Fair beginning at 5:30.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.